Lord Brahma gives 18 different reasons why Krishna is Purushottam. And this is Purushottam month, so these are the best prayers, and Brahma is giving the best presentation to prove that Krishna Vrindavan is the supreme form of Godhead, and he is the Uttam of all Purushas. He is the supreme Purushottam. And in fact, during Purushottam month, we are supposed to worship Radha and Krishna of Vrindavan. Although we say Maryada Purushottam, that Ramachandra is, he's Maryada Purushottam and Krishna is Leela Purushottam. So people think, okay, he's Leela Purushottam, he's Maryada Purushottam, they're the same. Vishnu is also Purushottam, Aishwarya Purushottam. But now Brahma, who is the Acharya and Guru of the whole Sampradaya and the first disciple of Krishna, or let's say Vishnu and Krishna, he's realized in this Brahma Vimohan Leela, by this Leela he's understood clearly, very clearly, and convincingly and completely that Krishna, Sri Krishna Vrindavan, Yashoda Nanda and Nanda Dhruval, and not Ramachandra and not Vishnu or not any other form of Vishnu or any Leela avatar or Das avatar, none of them are actually the supreme Purushottam, although they may be called Maryada Purushottam, because Purushottam refers to Vishnu Tattva, or to God. There are different aspects of God and different degrees and presentations of the Godhood, or the Godhead rather, and Krishna is the supreme. And here, without any doubt, and he gives 18 different points to prove that Krishna is Purushottam. So the first point it establishes is that Krishna, not Vishnu, Ram, or anyone else, is the ultimate Purushottam. The Supreme Bhagavan, Purushottam, is the first point he establishes in our list of 18 points that are expanded, or let's say 18 points which are explained in 40 different verses which comprise Brahma Stuti. The first one is the incredible and astonishing beauty of Krishna, which is incomparable. And this is given in the first verse by Brahma of his prayer. This is first verse starts with, he starts off with like, wow, I've seen Vishnu, I've seen Mahavishnu. This is Brahma speaking. I've seen Mahavishnu, I've seen Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Garbhadakshaya Vishnu is his father, and Mahavishnu is his grandfather, you could say, because he's the origin of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. Garbhadakshaya expands into Brahma from his navel. And then Garbhadakshaya, so I guess Shirdakshaya Vishnu is his brother. So he's seen all these forms of Vishnu, and he's had their darshan, been to yagyas and attended pujas where he was a guest, Brahma was a guest of honor, and Shiva and Vishnu, because they run the universe. The maintainer is Vishnu, Purushottam Vishnu. Brahma is the creator, the Adi Karta, or the creator, creating, receiving all his power and to create, and all the elements of Pradhan and Mahatattva are given to him by Vishnu, and ultimately Krishna was the origin of Vishnu. And Shiva, his business is to break the whole place down. Krishna gave the bricks and wind and glass and steel. Brahma built the house, and Shiva burned it down. So they worked nicely together to build cities and destroy cities and build universes. So he's well aware of Purushottam Vishnu, and he's of course knows Purushottam Ram and all this. He's eternally living practically for such a vast time period. So he's seen many Rams. Ram avatars come and go every day of his life, and so he lives so many days. So he knows about Purushottam Ram, and he knows about Purushottam Vishnu. And now he's, after being totally bewildered by this 5-year-old boy in Vrindavan during this Leela of stealing his calves, this is Balya Leela, well, you can say this is Pogunda Leela, his boyhood pastimes in Chatigar and Vrindavan. After Gokul. And Brahma has seen all this, and he's concluded that after he came out of his bewilderment, and then he got the idea, he's concluded that Krishna is Purushottam. So the first thing that he's been amazed, that has amazed him and completely captivated his intelligence of all his four heads, is that Krishna's beauty is astounding and far, far, far exceeds the beauty of Ram and Vishnu and all the other forms of Purushottam and all the other forms of God which I have seen before. Sri Brahma Uvacha, verse 1, chapter 14, 10th canto. No mityate bravapushe tadid ambaraya kunjavatam saparipichala sanmukaya vanyashvaje kavala vetra vishana venu lakshma shri midupade ashupanga jaya. Here in his first illumination and revelation by Brahma, he's becoming completely attracted. Vimohan. It says Brahma Vimohan Lila. Brahma became bewildered mo, vishesh mo, completely, utterly, absolutely, and complete, and totally bewildered. Consider now, this is called Brahma Vimohan Lila. So a Lila has different parts, different scenes. Lila's drama, transcendental drama, rasa-filled drama. There are different set. There's different. You ever been to a drama? They have Act One of the drama, Act Two. Movies are the same way, but they don't use those terms. But they have those. There are acts and there are scenes within the act. Act One, Act Two, Act Three. Scene One, Two, Three, Four, Five. So many scenes in one act. Maybe five scenes or one scene or 20. Then Act Two. In this drama, in this play of Brahma Vimohan Lila, which spreads over two or three chapters. Chapter 13, he steals the calves and boys and gets bewildered. And chapter 14, that's his Leela. Chapter 13, and then he had the realizations. And he speaks his realizations as a teaching, his own personal revelations and understandings, which he's discovered for his own edification and elevation and realization and deeper understanding of who this little boy that bewildered him, who he really is. But since he is the head of the Sampradaya, that means he's the original guru, isn't it? Your guru has a guru, and his guru has a guru. And his guru, and it goes all the way up parampara, evam parampara, to Vyasadeva. And Vyasadeva has a guru, who is Narada Muni. Who's the guru of Narada Muni? Brahma. Who's the guru of Brahma? Krishna, Vishnu, like that. So, that's the parampara. Tene rida Brahma yadadi kavaye. Brahma heard the knowledge in his heart. We hear the knowledge, we receive the knowledge not direct. In other words, somebody can put money directly into your bank. They can put it right into your bank. Or they can come to you and say, here's $1,000. Now you get it and you have to go put it in the bank. You may lose it on the way. Somebody may steal it. Krishna put the money right in the bank. He put it right in his heart because knowledge must enter the heart. If knowledge only enters the ear and mind and doesn't enter the heart, what does that mean? That means no vigya. That means no getting up at 4 o'clock. You hear the knowledge, but it doesn't enter your heart, so you say, I don't care about that. This one, that one, that. So knowledge is received, instruction is received. Unless knowledge enters in our heart, we can't remember it because it's not important. Acquiring, assimilating, and responding. Acquire knowledge, assimilate, and respond. Yes, I've acquired it, I assimilated, I rejected. So Brahma, when he had this experience of this Brahma Vimohan Lila, he acquired knowledge, deep and precise knowledge about Krishna as Purushottam. How being the teacher and being the head of an entire sampradaya, he wants to share that knowledge and teachings with us. He's not keeping it for himself, he's not selfish. Guru receives and distributes. As I often tell my students, at every moment you should be a teacher and a student. They're always going back, you're receiving and distributing, collecting and distributing. Collecting means student, distributing means teacher. Collecting, distributing, hearing, chanting, remembering, distributing. So collecting and distributing. So when you're collecting and receiving, then you're the student. And you can only do that if you're humble. But when you're the teacher, you're distributing. But if you're distributing and become proud, then that pride destroys or cancels your ability to become a good student. It's a very interesting interplay. And the bottom line, or the cohesive factor, cohesion. Cohesive means a factor which makes them work or sticks them together, cohesion. like adhesive. We say this is adhesive cohesion. The cohesive factor is humility. Humility works if you're a guru and a teacher and you're humble, you're successful. And if you're a student and you're humble, you're successful. But if you're a teacher and you're proud, some people may have problem with your pride and not accept your teachings. And if you're a student and you're proud, you'll never learn anything because you think you know more than the teacher. Or if he received, maybe he said something more, but you say, but it's good pride. You say, oh, he said this thing, but forget it. I'm not following. So either way, pride is a downfall. Pride is a downfall of the teacher and a downfall of the student. So therefore, Trinadapi Sunichena Truri Vasishna Amani Na Amani Dena Kirtaniya Sadhavari. This is our diamond brooch. This is our diamond necklace. This is our gold bracelets. This is our waist belts. This is our ankle belts. This is our nose rings. This is our everything. This great, great billion-dollar, super ecstatic, unbelievable gem called humility. And this is what Lord Chaitanya is offering to all of us. If we accept it, if we surrender it, we chant Nittai Gaur, Hari Bol, Gauranga Nittai. I learned all these. Say, listen, everyone. I just went to Vrindavan. I got totally embarrassed. I got totally ashamed of myself. I feel condemned. And I'm wretched. And I feel a little embarrassed to tell you all, my students, I acted like such a fool. What I just did, I'm afraid to even tell you, but you'll probably hear about it when the Bhagavatam comes out. When the Bhagavatam comes out, there's a chapter about your teacher in there. And I acted like a real fool, but somehow, by God's grace, I repented. And I prayed and I submitted to this little blue boy named Gopal. And he taught me 18 things about himself. And I'd like to share those with you. And I was bewildered about Krishna in 18 different... You say I'm your guru and the Adi Guru and I'm your teacher and you're all my students. But actually your beloved teacher became bewildered in 18 different ways. And so each of these points that Brahma is teaching his students about what he realized in Vrindavan, now he's sharing, now as a teacher, he's speaking Brahma Stuti to teach all of us who are his students. The students of Brahma, in the Brahma Sampradaya, or anyone who wants to follow and understand his teachings, establishing Krishna as the Supreme Purushottam, Krishna in Vrindavan. So he's saying, first thing is, the first thing is, I was completely bewildered by the beauty of Krishna and about his beauty. But now I realize that beauty, which bewildered me, is a very source of proving that he's Purushottam. I was bewildered by this beautiful feature of a little boy with curly hair, blue eyes, and a Vaijayanti garland, no shirt. He doesn't even wear a shirt. He's so silly, he doesn't know how to button a shirt. All the demigods wear button-down shirts. Vishnu wears button-down shirts. I wear button-down shirts. He doesn't know how to tie shoes. He doesn't wear shoes. He can't tie them. He doesn't wear shirts. He can't button them. He doesn't wear cufflinks. He doesn't wear a tie. He doesn't know how to tie it. He simply throws a piece of cloth over his shoulder if he feels like it. And if it's summertime, he throws a few garlands on and says, that's enough. I don't want to dress up anymore. And he walks out, and all of us, all the demigods and Vishnu, all of us eat with our right hand, and we eat at dinner tables. He sits under a tree on the dirt, sits in the middle of a bunch of monkeys. Monkeys sit on his shoulders. Birds sit on his head. He sits among a bunch of cows on the bank of a river with no asan, no table, no chokhi, no spoon, knife, fork, crystal glasses, silver bowls, anything. And then you want to hear something. Does he eat with his right hand? He sits with monkeys and he eats like a monkey. He eats with both hands. In his left hand, he has a mixture of yogurt and rice. Between his fingers, he has tandoori pickles. And then he takes his right hand and he mixes this little pickle, eats it, and then his left hand, he's eating. This is so many aparadhas he's making. First of all, what is he eating in his left hand? That's Vishnu Prasad. His father is worshipping Lakshmi Narayan, deities in Nandagram. Mother Yashoda is offering everything to the deities. And he's putting Vishnu Prasad in his left hand. This is God? Huh. But this beautiful feature he was showing to me totally bewildered me. Now I realize that this is not his deficit, this is his greatest asset. And this is the first thing that I want to teach you and learn it very clearly. No midya te bravapushe, vapushe tadid ambaraya. Tadid ambaraya, his ambara. Ambara means vishvambara, covering the universe. Ambara means that which covers you, your cloth, your clothing. Tadid ambaraya. His pitambara is tadid ambara. You say pitambara, pita means yellow. I say yellow? You say pitambara, nilambara? Forget, it's not pitambara, it's tadid. You're saying yellow, school buses are yellow. But is a school bus as brilliant and as effulgent and as dazzling as a lightning bolt? No. Oh, yellow, pitambara. Okay, where's the yellow? Okay, that drum has a yellow cloth. Okay, that's very exciting. Some lady wears a yellow dress. So Krishna's yellow dhoti is like my yellow dress. No way, Jack. Your yellow dress is shining and glimmering and sparkling like a lightning bolt? I doubt it. No matter how much sparkles you sew into it or sequins you tie onto it, it's not going to look like a lightning bolt, although you wish it did. But tadit ambaraya, he says, vapushe, he said his abra, abru vapu. Abra means vapu. Vapu means guru vapu. Everyone knows this term. The body of the guru. Guru vani, the words of the guru. Guru vapu. Vapushe means his body is abra. It's like a cloud, a beautiful blue cloud. So that, can you imagine this beautiful dark blue cloud? Who is the best friend of clouds? That the lightning bolt makes the cloud so excited that he drops all his water. So this is, you have this beautiful abra vapushe, beautiful dark cloud blue body of Krishna. So everyone knows that contrasts are very attractive. So a dark rain cloud is dark blue, and a lightning cloud is, lightning is white light, like sunlight, like yellow, like bright, like opposite. One is hot, one is cold. Blue is cold. Yellow is red, hot. Hot and cold, opposites, opposites attract. Krishna's blue, Radharani's golden, opposites attract. Krishna's cool like the ocean, Radharani's fiery. Man is a fiery feeling. Jealous anger, anger is not cool, feeling. Krishna's duty is to cool her down. She's hot. Oh, cool down, relax, Radharani, take my peacock feather, take my flute, take these sweets, take my sweet words. Look, I dress as a sannyasi, I dress as a female singer, I'm trying to entertain you, cool down, relax, give up your anger, give up your fire, give up your man, and be with me again. So Radharani is the hot side, Krishna is the cool side. Who gets in man? Krishna gets in man? No, only Radharani gets in man. So opposites attract, everyone knows. So Krishna, his whole personality, his physical presentation, his activities, his thinking, it's all contradictory. It's contrast, so people get confused. He's inside, he's outside, he's everywhere, he's nowhere. He walks, but he does not walk. He talks, but he doesn't talk. He accepts, but he doesn't accept. He has hands, one, he has two hands, even form, he has hands everywhere. Sarvato panipadantam, sarvato panipadantam. Sarvatokshishiromakam says in Gita, everywhere my eyes and faces, eyes and hands. But then we see, but he has two, Krishna has two hands, and his two hands are here, and his one face is here. How is his head everywhere? It's only one Krishna walking in Vrindavan, not everywhere Krishna. So there seems to be a contrast. There's a contrast, a contradiction. Krishna's own body is dark blue, and then his ambara is tadidambara, bright yellow, beautiful yellow. It's beautiful. Such contrast, unbelievable. Tadit, like lightning. So then he says, Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, hey Gopal, you are the only worshipful Lord, the Supreme Personality of God. In other words, you are the Supreme Purushottam. That's why this chapter, Bhakti Sanatana Saraswati, is what he said. All of my followers should spend the entire Purushottam month deeply studying about Purushottam Sri Krishna in chapter 14. The astonishing, amazing beauty. You're the only worshipful Lord. I offer my humble obeisances and prayers just to please you. Oh, son of the cowards. Your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant like lightning. And the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings and the peacock feather on your head. So this verse, this prayer, Oh, son of the king of the cowherds. He's saying, I've realized that you're so beautiful, you're so astonishing. And you're Purushottam because you're the supreme form of Godhead, because you're just a little coward kid. You're the son of the cowards and Abhira caste. You're transcendent. And look at this body. I was so bewildered. I couldn't figure out. And now this is your real asset and attribute and ornament. Your transcendental body is dark blue like a new cloud. Your garment is brilliant as lightning. And the beauty of your face is enhanced by your gunja earrings. Wow, what opulent earrings. Gunja Vatamsa. You see those earrings? Those earrings are worth nothing. They grow wild. They're a wild poison berry growing in Vrindavan. It must have cost nothing to make them. They're not gold, they're not diamonds, they're not pearls. They're poison red and black berries that grow everywhere in Vrindavan. If a kid eats 10 of them, he dies. And Krishna plays with them, makes necklaces with them, and adorns his hair and his belt and his ears with them. He makes homemade makeshift earrings. And he thinks these are the greatest, most beautiful things that he could ever wear in his ears. Imagine. This is what Purushottam wears. This is what God, Lakshminath, this is what he wears. Thousands, Sahasra Lakshmi Sahasra Satasambharma Sevyamana, thousands and lakhs of Lakshmis are emanating from his body and serving him moment to moment. And what does he wear? Poison berries for earrings. Gunja Vatamsa. So that's pretty bewildering, isn't it? The guy's a multimillionaire. He's Bill Gates. And he wears, you know, of course he may do it. You know, he wears a 2 rupee Casio watch or something. They do funny stuff like that just to make fun. But Krishna likes it. He's not profiling. He's not trying to get on the front pages or be some kinky god. He just likes the things of Vrindavan. He's, look at this. It's bewildering me. But they're beautiful. These red and blue shiny berries against that blue skin, and this beautiful smile like pearls that combine together make such a fantastic, astonishing view. Just captivating my intelligence. And then what do you have in your head? You have a dirty, stooly, filthy, contaminated peacock feather. All feathers, including peacock, are like stool. Bones are like, all bones are contaminated in stool except for conch. He takes his dirty, filthy stool. If you touch a feather, you have to take a bath. It's like touching stool. Your body becomes contaminated. Stool, hair in your head, your fingernails, your stool, it's all the same. If any one of them falls in your soup, you won't take it. If there's stool in your soup, you won't eat it. If your own beautiful hair is in your soup, you won't eat it. If your beautiful fingernails are in your soup, you'll reject it. Because it's all contaminated, ashut, stool. It's all a grand illusion in your own mind. Reality is painful. Reality cuts, pinches. Ooh, be quiet. Let me live in my illusion. It's more comfortable. It's more, I can deal with illusion. I don't like to face the truth. We have this expression, and listen, face the truth. You're going to die. It's going to be all over today or tomorrow. Are you ready? No. Will you ever get ready? No. Then die. Start again and get serious, since you don't want to be serious this life. Krishna said, I gave you a great opportunity to become God conscious. You don't want it? Okay, die. Become an animal. Sleep all day. Eat. I gave you a great form to realize God, and you're just living like a dog and a pig and sleeping and goofing off and decorating your body. So become an animal. Lick your hair all day like a dog. Lick your body and sleep all day and eat. I gave you a good body to realize me, that you're just enjoying yourself like a pig. So become a pig, isn't it? That's how we get these forms. You're wearing garlands. Krishna, you're wearing garlands of various flowers, forest flowers and leaves. Vishnu wears garlands of gold and lapis lazuli and diamonds. These are the garlands he wears. You ever see pictures of Vishnu with a bunch of flower garlands like you see in Krishna Balaram Mandir? Flower outfits. You ever see Vishnu? Hi, kids. I'm in my flower outfit. Chakra, Gada, Padma, Shankh, gold, diamonds, jewelry, Aishwarya Mai Bhagavan Ki, Jai. When Krishna comes walking, strolling on the stage like a drunken elephant, Namo Narayan, Jai Vishnu. Ah, Krishna, you're looking smart, looking good. Yeah, I picked these leaves off the ground. My friends picked some leaves off the ground, strung them together with a piece of, you know, vine hanging here and there. I just stuffed it on this morning. Yeah, it looks great. And I picked up a few wildflowers. Krishna is he's the ultimate iconoclast, if you know what it means. He's an iconoclast. He's a transcendental autocrat. No one controls him. No one's above him. No one's equal to him. No one can match him. He's matchless. Matchless beauty, matchless gift. Super excellent beauty. Such an extraordinary personality. And Brahma is like, look at me and look at you. Look at you. Look at you, Gopal. You're supposed to be God. You got all the money, all the influence, all the power, all the control, and you're wearing some old wrinkled leaves. And you're sporting it happily with your chest out, and you're enjoying it. They don't have any smell, they don't have any color, they don't have any fragrance, they don't have any value. They're just leaves lying on the floor of Vrindavan forest. And these flowers on these trees here and there, they're not imported, they're not Parijat flowers imported from Nanda Nandan. When a demigod goes strutting out to some debutante ball in Indraloka, and they go to some royal gala affair and Varuna's palace, they're having a huge dance concert or big party for all the demigods. You think they go strutting in there with some leaves around their neck, all the Swarga Devis? Amber and Tilotam and all them, let's throw some leaves around their neck. They wear jewelry, they may wear a garland, but they get the flowers from Nandananda and Nandakanana gardens. Parijat, all extraordinary, exotic, celestial flowers. That's what the demigods wear. Gunja berries, Vaijayanti mala, wild flowers. Any guy can pick for free. Dandelions and chameli and jui and bela. What is that? It's nothing, it's a weed. So Brahma saying, look at me, I'm wearing all this gold and all these crowns on my foreheads, and you're mocking me. But what a Vapu, you are God. Wearing garlands of various flowers and leaves, and you're equipped with a herding stick and a buffalo horn and a flute. All the demigods have gold staffs and chakras, discs, and swords, and powerful weapons. And you've got a piece of wood, a walking stick, a lagudi, and some horn that fell off a buffalo. We have these huge conches, 3 foot long conches, and all kinds of brass horns, and trumpets, and instruments, and dundubis, and anakanduta, huge drums to proclaim our meetings, boom, 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 boom. And you come tooting along on a buffalo horn. Toot, toot. Wow, what a gala entrance. Swagatam, swagatam. What kind of gala entrance is this? An intro comes in, horns and drums and trumpets. Buffalo horn. A stick, a sacred staff, 6 feet long, 2 meters long, sacred staff, diamond-studded gold rod, the Indra's staff, the minister, the king. And he's got a little stick under his arm, like a crutch for a guy with a broken leg. You get a broken leg, you wear a little crutch. He's on something he leans on when he goes out cowherding so he can play the flute. If he's in the middle of a pasture, he can't lean on a tree. Because as you know, Krishna cannot sit straight. And he cannot walk straight, talk straight, act straight, think straight. He's Tera Bhagavan. He's a bent Bhagavan. So even if he's near the shore of the Yamuna, there's lots of trees growing. So he leans on the Kadamba tree. Have you ever seen his leans there? He can't even hold himself up because he's so intoxicated with the weight of his own prema that he can't hold himself up. So he needs his devotees to hold him up. He distributes his prema to the devotees, and they enrich their bhavas with his prema, and then they go and serve Krishna, and they support him and hold him up, and that's how he carries on. But otherwise, the prema is so heavy and so deep, like the deep dark ocean. The deeper it is, the darker blue it is. The deeper the depth, the more blue it is, because Krishna's qualities are so deep, so he can't be but an ocean of Akila Rasamrita Sindhu, an ocean of Akila Rasa, unlimited rasa. So it's such a deep, deep repository of rasa, it can't be any color but dark blue, like the deep ocean. And he's Tribhangi, standing three phobics, he can't support the weight. When you have a heavy weight in your shoulders, you can't walk. Oh, you become Tera. So it's the weight of his own frame. And he's eager to distribute it, so he becomes Mahaprabhu, so he can walk straight. You ever see Lord Chaitanya in Tribhanga? No. Because he's distributing the weight of his love. So there he's able to stand. He's straight. You see the deity in Mayapur. Is he like... As Radharani is inside his heart, giving him that power to sit straight. Stand straight. And she's distributing her love through him. So he either leans on a tree, on the kadamba tree in the banks of Yamuna, and calls the gopis or the cows or the cowboys. What about in the pastures? He goes to the pastures, yes? There's no trees in the middle of the pastures. So what do you lean on? Lean on the shoulder of Sridhar, or you put your arms on his shoulder. But they may be playing their flutes also, so they also have sticks. So they all lean on their sticks. So you lean on your stick, then you can support the weight of your prema, and then play your flute and call your loving friends, loving cows, loving friends, and loving gopis. Darling damsels of Braj. So you stand beautifully with a morsel of food in your hand. Which hand? Your left hand. So we'll continue on this verse tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.